some Valentine's Day songs here on Dave's Gone By. I know we're 2 days away, but this is the time I'm on the air, so I'm going to share. We heard Jim Caruso, Just Squeeze Me, from his new CD, The Swing Set. In fact, we started that mini Valentine's set with another Jim Caruso song, Heart's Desire, from the same disc. And in between, we heard The Pretenders with a live version of Lovers of Today from the Isle of View record. And then Tom Waits, of course, Blue Valentine's from that album. And then the late Mary Clear Harron from her Pennies from Heaven record. Love is just around the corner. And then we pick things up a little bit with Elvis Costello, Radio Sweetheart. Well, it is 10:34 in the morning here, Mountain Time, at the University of Northern Colorado. You're listening to Dave's Gone By with me, Dave Lefkowitz, on UNC Radio and uncradio.com. It is time for our very, very special guest, the person that we heard a couple of times in that Valentine's segue. He's been a cabaret performer for quite a while now and has done all sorts of different things, from one-person shows to kind of impersonation shows. What he's probably most famous for now is this little niche that he's concocted for himself, Monday nights at Birdland, which is this legendary jazz and cabaret club in Midtown Manhattan. And what he does on Monday nights is, well, I'll let him describe most of it, but over the months and couple of years that he's been doing it, it's built into sort of this celebrity singer actor hotspot night spot where, well, the people go to be seen and heard. It's called Cast Party, or Jim Caruso's Cast Party, and what do you know? The fellow who runs Jim Caruso's Cast Party is on the phone with us right now. Jim Caruso, welcome to the neighborhood.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing, Jim? How's your weekend? How's your winter going?
Well, I'm in New York City, so the winter has been a little bit massive here.
Yeah, I know.
But I happen to love this weather, so I'm not complaining about it at all.
So it doesn't affect, like, the crowds or you know, because you want to get people in there on Monday nights, but people come.
It hasn't affected the business at all. We've been doing cast there for 8 years, and so every Monday it's packed with incredible singers and performers and the people who love them.
Exactly. Well, how? Let's take us to the very beginning of this special show. I mean, tons of people do cabaret shows in New York. Even I was doing one about 2 years ago and got the occasional. You actually heard about it? Or were you on there? Were you on the stage, buddy? Oh, I'm sorry. You should have been. Oh, well.
I know. Well, next time. Let's do it.
There you go. When I'm back in New York doing it, I'll include you in Stage Buggy. Let me hear more, though, about Cast Party, because yours turned special. Yours turned into sort of the biggest cabaret night, really, weekly in New York. So 8 years ago, did it start small?
It did start very small. I was doing PR for a nightclub, and I was writing press releases for drink specials, and I mean, there was not much to talk about. So I happened to decide to throw a Christmas party, and everybody has sang around the piano in this very small club until about 4 a.m. And the manager called me the next day and said, "Would you do that every Monday?" And I said no. And 8 years later, we're still doing it.
No, wait, but was it in Birdland then?
No, we started in a very small room that is long gone, and then we moved around to a couple other rooms for about a year, and then 7 years ago, I had the good fortune of settling in at Birdland, which, as you know, is just one of the greatest music rooms in the world. Heretofore, kind of strictly jazz,
right?
But we ruined that, and we brought in. I'm booking the Broadway Birdland series there now, and bringing, you know, just the best of Broadway and composers and all kinds of things on Monday at 7 o'clock, and then Cast Party starts around 9:30. So we have theater and cabaret and incredible. I've got to book country, comedy, all kinds of things.
Wait. Do you actually include the comedy and country within the cast party structure too, or is that mainly?
Of course. Cast party really is an open mic night in the true sense of the word. In that, I never know who's showing up. So we've had everybody from Tony Bennett to John Bon Jovi to Liza Minnelli to Betty Comden before she passed away.
Well, it'd be horrible if she came after she passed away. That would just
Obviously, that was a little bit
silence.
I think it was one of her last public appearances, and she got up and sang a song that she wrote with Leonard Bernstein and Adolph Green. So, you know, you just never know who's going to come through the door.
But it can't be necessarily like it's an open mic night for high-level singers and celebs. Or do you just sort of include anybody who signs up?
Oh, it's everybody from superstars to, you know, I always say, the housewife that wrote a song about pollution. It's chorus kids, jazz players, composers, guitar players, and really anybody's fair game. It's open to the public to perform. If you get there on time to get on the list and you got an upbeat tune for us, you're on the list.
Huh. So have you had embarrassing kind of like, oh my God, it's amateur hour up there? How do you cope with that?
Well, actually, from what the answer is yes, but what I hear is that's really what the audience loves, the combination of you know, some of these spectacular performances that feel very historic sometimes, and the other end of the spectrum, because it just proves that it is truly an open mic and is open to everyone.
Well, that is lovely. But what are some of the historic? You mentioned Betty Comden singing just
that before. Was an unbelievable moment.
Well, yeah.
I mean, she came in all in black and diamonds and motioned me over and said, "Do you think it'd be okay if I sang?"
Oh boy.
You know, we fainted. There was a night with in the same room and on the same stage, Janis Ian and Phoebe Snow.
Huh.
Martin Short came in about a year ago to try out some material that he was going to do on Letterman the next night, and he brought Paul Schaefer with him to play for him.
Good Lord.
So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
And you're used to it. This is, you know, you've been doing it 8 years. This is a kind of a natural thing to happen on a Monday night.
It's kind of a natural thing, although, you know, that's always a thrill when people like that come in and they know it's a safe haven to try new material. It's always a thrill.
Do you stack the deck a little bit? Like, do you call the week before one or two, you know, decent known performers, maybe not superstars, but people who are really solid?
I really don't. I don't. We've been going for so long, and we've gotten so much, there's so much good buzz, I guess, about the event that's one thing I don't have to worry about is, will anybody show up? The place is usually packed. Birdland seats about 150 people. It's always packed every Monday night till about 1 in the morning.
Wow.
And, I know.
Yeah. Does that, though, I guess then if it is, since it is an open mic and you're not booking things per se, that leaves the rest of your week open. So, in a manner of speaking, are you working on other cabaret stuff? Do you do solo stuff still?
I just released the swing set, the album that you've been playing. Thank you
so much.
So, I'm going to start doing some concerts again. But Billy Stritch and I, Billy's one of the incredible musical directors that we have at Cast Party. He and Ted Firth kind of take turns, along with Steve Doyle on bass and Daniel Glass on drums, who sits in every once in a while. Billy and I take Cast Party on the road quite a bit.
Oh.
And we're in Los Angeles every other month. And we're about to do Chicago on April 20th. I'm sorry, April 10th. Pittsburgh on April 20th. We've done Orlando. We've done Austin. So I'm always putting those events together. And
well, again,
I'm producing
when,
the Broadway series. So that kind of takes my whole,
sure.
that takes up my week.
When you go tour with the show, though, when you go to these other places, especially like Chicago and Pittsburgh, again, do you stack the deck or do you just say whoever shows, shows, and you hope that maybe some...
Well,
some...
I do, when we first started doing Los Angeles, I did kind of have to make some calls to make sure some swells would be there.
Right.
Because, of course, we want people right off the street. We want the newcomers. But in Los Angeles, I knew so many people. So we had every time we go there, we have Melissa Manchester and Carol Channing. And
she was a guest on our show about 2 months ago. She was amazing. So
who, Carol?
Carol, yes. And we had Richard Skipper three.
Nobody better.
Yeah. I mean, she's... What did she do for you? Do you remember what she sang?
Of course I do. She got up and talked to me for a really long time. She talked about education in the schools,
oh, yeah.
which is her
thing.
Real passion. And then she launched right into the a monologue from Hello, Dolly, and then went right into Before the Parade passes by.
Oh, my God. You must have goosebumps, well, chills.
The audience was weeping. I mean, it was just a crazy, crazy moment. You just don't expect to see Carol Channing at an open mic night.
And also singing that particular song at her age. I remember seeing her on Broadway in the last Hello, Dolly! Revival, which was 15 years ago.
Yeah,
and she came. She was wonderful. She came out. But also, you know, this was an older woman. And when she started singing songs like Before the Parade Passed, it was so touching because you figure, okay, this is legend here. We're going to watch this. How much longer do we have her to do this?
This is history.
And then 15 years later.
Like right in your lap.
I know, but it's funny that 15 years later, she's still here. She's still doing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
If we'd only known.
True, I know.
It wouldn't have been quite so touching. It still would have been touching, but
Pretty great. And so the answer is yes. I mean, when we go to Chicago, I'll call some friends and say, you know, who are the best jazz players in Chicago? Who can we get? Who's in town doing a national tour of, you know, I don't know, if Wicked's in town or if Shrek is in town or, you know, I'll call around and see who might be around. But it will still be an open mic.
That's great. This is such a Jewish question. I know you're not Jewish, but I am. But if
well, I'm Italian, which is close.
If you get on the list, you know, if you're a semi-celebrity or something, are your drinks comped, or does everybody have to pay to get in and pay their whatever their cover?
Well, it depends on where we are. At Birdland, all the performers are comped cover, and then you know they're on their own. You got to drink and you got to eat because it's a nightclub, and they've got to pay their rent and their waitresses and stuff. So yeah, everybody's on their own,
but
nobody pays a cover.
Well, nobody pays a cover who performs, but everybody
drinks. Exactly.
Right. Well, that's fair. That sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, we're not going to make them pay to perform.
Right. Well, no. But the other question, though, is, I mean, you can make something of a living doing this, a pretty good living, as a matter of fact. Nobody makes a living in cabaret. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty neat. Even your piano, Billy Strings. I mean, I think you told me, you don't have to say this over the phone, but I think I asked you one time what they, you pay your accompanist, and they pay him well for, like, once a week work. And that's pretty neat.
Absolutely. Well, they're the top people in their field. It doesn't get better than Billy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get better than Ted. So, of course, it's our business. Everybody's going to be paid.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's a difference between the whole scale of everything that you're kind of doing, and with all due respect to all the other clubs like Don't Tell Mama and 88s. Is there still an 88s? Did 88s close?
No, that closed about 15 years ago.
15? Oh, my. Boy, am I out of the loop. All right, but
yeah, that's been gone for quite a while.
So let's actually talk about cabaret, where it is in New York and around the country now. I mean, it's been a fallow period, I guess, since the heyday, which would have been, I guess, the 1950s, it always hangs on. But what are your thoughts on where cabaret is right now in entertainment?
Well, you know, I think the word cabaret is a very tough word to sell. I mean, I've never used it. I've always sung in nightclubs, supper clubs, you know. I think cabaret outside of a very small neighborhood in New York City is a very hard thing to explain to people and to sell. Hmm. I think it was probably never the, I mean, maybe in the 50s.
The nightclubs.
Everybody went out. But I think it's always been kind of a very small echelon of an audience. Everybody always talks about the death of cabaret and can it hang on. I think it's always been small, and I think that's kind of what makes it special in a funny kind of way. It's snowing here in New York. I just want you to know. I just looked out my window. That was shocking.
And it's 50 degrees in Colorado. I love that.
I know. Perfect.
I tell this story every week, and I'll tell it again because you haven't heard it. When I moved to Colorado a year and a half ago, all the New Yorkers that I knew, the first thing they would tell me is, well, bring your snow boots, bring your heavy winter coat and your mucklucks, because, I hope you like snow. And then these past 2 years, we've gotten some snow where I live in Colorado, up in northern Colorado here. But you guys, you New Yorkers, man.
Yeah, we've gotten it. We've gotten it pretty strong here this year.
Get your mucklucks out, man.
That's right.
What are they expecting? Right. What are they expecting in Manhattan?
I have no idea. This is the first. I didn't know.
Huh.
I hope this isn't the beginning of another huge, massive thing. This looks pretty light, actually. Anyway, I think cabaret has always been and will always be a very specialized world. I think that's part of what makes it interesting and cool. There aren't many clubs in this country. I always say Amish people make more than cabaret singers, and it's true. There's not a lot.
Well, Amish people build things, and they make good pretzels, so you can sell
a
pretzel. Let me ask, as far as your beginnings, let's roll it back now. So when... Very, very basic question you ask every actor or singer. When did you know, ... and how did you get started, ...
Both of my parents were musicians, so there was always a lot of music around the house. My mother was a music teacher, and so that it kind of went without saying that there was music. I started doing theater very young. And then I moved in Pittsburgh, and then I moved to Dallas, and I decided that I wanted to be, I was constantly being cast in the ensemble and the chorus, so I thought, I want to be the star of my show. So I put an act together, and the act involved me as the singing sensation and my mother on the piano.
Oh my gosh. What was it called?
I know. And the act was called Son of a Bitch, unfortunately.
Okay.
And we played fish restaurants in Dallas, Texas. So you can imagine how exciting this act was. I eventually fired my mother, and which was not easy, and started to work kind of a lot all over the country.
Stop right there. Stop right there, Jim Caruso. Tell me a little bit more about Son of a Bitch. What did your mother do? What did she
it
do?
It was a very slow act. Because my mother can only play ballads, so it was a lot. We were like the Judds on lithium. Really, it was not particularly a successful act.
Oh well, yeah. Well, did you sell more fish?
Exactly. I don't know how we went over with the seafood fans.
And what did you have to do? You had to tell your mom. Mom, you're great. I love you, but this is just not working.
I had to give her a pink slip. It was very uncomfortable. But she's moved on. She's fine with it now.
Oh,
that's good. And she's our biggest fan.
Well, good. Has she ever come to the cast party? Did she ever?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she lives right across the river in New Jersey, and she's a big. She loves it. In fact, she's coming into town on February 17th. We're doing cast party at Town Hall. We're really moving uptown.
Well, that's a benefit for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, right?
Yes, it is, and what a cast we have assembled.
Such as?
I have Liza Minnelli, Cheetah Rivera, Larry Gatlin, Lucy Arnaz, the amazing Marilyn May.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher Sieber, Sally Mays, Hillary Cole, William Blake, Aaron Weinstein, brilliant jazz violinist that produced my album.
Oh, cool. Well,
Douglas, yeah. Clea Blackhurst. I mean, the list goes on and on. Hinton Battle, Karen Ziemba. Good. I mean, please. It's going to be a blast.
From Arnaz to Ziemba, from A to Z.
That's right.
Town Hall, it's not going to be at Birdland. It's going to be February 17th, Thursday. Town Hall. So
it's an all-star Jim Caruso's cast party benefiting Broadway Cares. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster. I'm absolutely thrilled that Scott Siegel, who produces this series, has asked us to do this. And so for one night only, we're moving into a big old theater, and
sounds really glamorous and fun. But let's take it back. Now, you've dumped your mom, okay? You kicked your mommy to the curb, and now you're the solo performer again. You've done acting, but you've been doing chorus. What took you to the next step?
Well, we were performing. I was with a vocal group called Wise Guys, a vocal jazz and comedy group, and we worked all over the country. All of a sudden, Liza Minnelli saw us and took us on the road with her. And that really kicked us over into another a whole other world, and we ended up being an opening act for quite a few people, which was a ball. And then after we played Carnegie Hall and the White House, we broke up. That's right.
No, wait a minute. Why?
I know. Well, you try to keep three people together. Putting a vocal group together is like marrying two other people that you don't necessarily love. It's a very, very hard thing.
Hey, I've been trying to do that with my wife in a co-ed. It's just not happening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very hard to keep people together. People would come and go. We were like Menudo. I mean, somebody would be in for 6 months and be out, and I'd have to replace them. It was, you know, not easy. So that broke up, and I started singing solo.
Huh.
And that you know, took off to a certain extent, but then it wasn't really till I put the spotlight on other people with Cast Party that the people became kind of more interested in me as a presenter and as a host. And boy, I wish somebody would have told me that a long time ago.
Well, also, you know, again, there's that mix of you never know who's gonna, and so you want to show up and you want to hear that mix of.
That's
almost
right.
Like American Idol. You have
exactly.
The person who shouldn't be on stage at all, but there they are, and someone who was born to be on stage, and one follows the other, and it's great, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. I mean, we were not a contest at all, and there's no snarky, bitchy, you know, judging of the performers. It's actually very upbeat and very supportive, no matter who you are. But yeah, I mean, you could certainly compare what we do to on a very small version to American Idol, I guess.
Or Ted Mack.
Very small version.
You're there every Monday night. You're packing the house in Birdland, which is this legendary club. I mean, it's you know, pretty darned impressive.
It's an extreme open mic in that way. Not only are we in this incredible music room, but these performers have Billy Stritch or Ted Firth at the piano, two of the best players in the world. Wonderful sound system, a packed house. It's and celebs in the audience and funny, hilarious. You know, they're great nights, and I think we're all very lucky to have this space to do it in.
Well, I got to ask a couple more sort of they're all personal questions, but kind of off the beam, oddball questions. So first of all, since you were on tour with Liza Minnelli, she seems like the most wonderful person in the world, but also crazy. So what is Liza really, really like?
Oh, I'm so sorry you think that. She's amazing. She took me on the road 100 years ago to open for her. She met Billy Stritch first, actually, and was so blown away by his talent that she hired him to arrange for her. And he's been her musical director and accompanist and and musical cohort for 20 years now. And then about 5 years ago, she called me and asked me to be part of a tour where we celebrated the music and arrangements of Kay Thompson, who was her godmother, and of course was the vocal arranger at MGM and the vocal coach to people like Judy Garland and Frank Sinatra and Mel Torme, little names like that.
Yeah.
And then she wrote a book called Eloise about the little girl who lives at the Plaza Hotel. Anyway, in the 50s, she had the hippest nightclub act in the world. It was a world-renowned act called Kay Thompson and the Williams Brothers, with Andy and his brothers.
Okay.
And they
Andy Williams. And you know, Andy Williams from the famous Andy Williams.
Right.
Right, okay, yeah.
Right. Yes, as opposed to the unfamous Andy Williams.
Well, you said the Williams brothers, and then you said, oh, and including yeah. Andy. I was like, oh, Andy Williams, I get it.
It was he and his three brothers. They had the hippest act in the world. I mean, they changed the way nightclub music and performers worked. And Liza decided to recreate that show after Kay died. Kay was a friend of mine and a lot of us here in town, and I'd been a huge fan of hers. So to be able to do these incredible Williams Brothers arrangements with Liza all over the world for 2.5 years and then end up on Broadway and win a Tony. The show was called Liza's at the Palace.
Oh, yeah.
And it's out on DVD and CD, and it was a Grammy-nominated CD, and the show won the Tony. So nobody in my life has been better to me than that woman. She is a spectacular friend to all of us and continues to work constantly and be brilliant. And
yeah, I was not trying to diss her in any way. I'm looking for, like, sort of celebrity dish, not this, but dish, either positive or negative, from your experiences of either being on stage with or working with or being friends with so many famous people.
I mean, I have to say, I've never seen a work ethic like that. For this show, we rehearsed for 3 years nonstop while we were on the road before we brought it to Broadway. She'll get into a rehearsal studio and work for 8 hours nonstop, without a drink of water, without a break. I have never seen anybody so with that kind of work ethic. That's what people don't know about her.
That is actually a great hook. I would love to know things that people might not kind of know about other folks like Cheetah or Tony Bennett.
Right.
What are some other little anecdotey things that you've noticed? And they don't have to be negative, and they can be totally positive. But that we might.
Well, I mean, I don't want to work with people that I find negative. You know, that's not fun to me. And at this point, if you're not nice, I don't need to be around you.
Right.
So that's why I'm so thrilled to have a cast, you know, like this coming up at Town Hall. I love these people. I love Chia, and Chia comes into Birdland. I book her act at Birdland. And my God, she's brilliant and hilarious.
Oh,
that's what people might not know about Cheetah Rivera, is what a very, very hilarious hip sense of humor she has.
See, that's the kind of thing I would love to, you know, to get across or to know about these people, these leading lights. It's like, oh,
and kind. I mean, an interesting thing about Cheetah is we did a record release for her at Birdland. And she worked the week at Birdland, and when the gig was over, she had signed a CD for the entire staff. Every waitress, busboy, office person got a personally signed CD made out to them. I mean, people don't do that. That is very unusual. So I have to say, she's a very, very kind and thoughtful person to work with.
I love stories like that. That's what we really like to hear about
Isn't
celebrities.
Nice? And Larry Gatlin's another one. He is flying in for this benefit.
Huh.
He has no reason to be here other than we asked him, and he knows Broadway Cares is an incredible organization that takes care of you know, people in all kinds of with all kinds of illnesses, but specifically AIDS.
Right.
And he's flying himself in on his own dime.
Since you actually mentioned that, and also it's I want to remind everybody that it is 11:03 in the morning. You're listening to Dave's Gone By on UNC Radio and uncradio.com. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, the host of the program, and I am talking to Jim Caruso, the cabaret entertainer extraordinaire who holds court every Monday night at Birdland in New York City with his cast party, which is studded with stars and also with amateurs. And that's kind of the wonderful mix of it. He'll be doing a special best of really star-studded version of his cast party on this Thursday, February 17th, at Town Hall in Manhattan, with people that he mentioned like Hinton Battle and Liza and Cheetah, Lucy Arnaz, Sally Mays, Karen Zamba, Larry Gatlin, along with all that, he does have a new CD out called Jim Caruso, The Swing Set, from Yellow Sound Records, which you can get from yellowsound.com and presumably Amazon and places like that. And do you have a website, Jim?
Yes, it's jim-caruso.com. Jim? You have to put that dash in there.
How did you get a middle name called Dash? I never understood.
I know, isn't that spiffy?
Jim-caruso.com. And just to go on the sad front, since you've been doing cast party 8 years, but you've been in cabaret and singing and acting for, I would say, what, 20, more than 20, 25?
Yeah, let's say more than 20.
Okay. Did you since you brought up that the benefit on Thursday is for BCEFA, did you feel very directly the AIDS pandemic of the 1980s?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I was living in Dallas at the time. And, you know, Dallas got the word about AIDS a little late. What was happening in the New Yorkers were very politicized by AIDS in the 80s, and it took a while for the news to get to Dallas. So by the time it did, we had lost just hundreds and thousands of great people. And, you know, it's really, I guess, not only were we singing in clubs, but we were doing so many benefits and fundraisers because people didn't know what to do.
Right.
Everybody was just kind of gobsmacked. You'd look at a guy and 2 weeks later he'd be gone. And so we were all singing these little tiny benefits and, you know, bringing in a couple bucks and a couple $100 a time to help people out. And it was a nightmare, and it feels like it was yesterday, but it also seems, you know, in a funny kind of way like a million years ago.
And well, that's wonderful in a way. I mean, what has happened, is it just that the drugs are treating everything so that people are living for 30 years instead of, you know, a month? Is that what's happening?
I guess that is what's happening. I'm certainly not the one to talk to as far as, you know, the medical advances of it all. But people are, it seems, able to live with the disease in a much more, they can live with it.
Yeah, you don't see the obituaries like you know, every other week or every week in the New York Times or wherever, you would see this actor, this performer, this singer, and now, you know, it's rare. Thank God, but it really is.
I mean, it's rare, but I think it would still shock everybody as to how big it is and how young people are that didn't live through that.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't live through that, you have no idea what the horror of that disease is.
Right.
And I hope people are teaching safety and all of the things that everybody needs to know. It's still a huge, huge factor, and which is why Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS is still around. You know, unfortunately, we all hope for the day when we don't have to do Broadway Cares benefits anymore. There's
That's
no
right.
such thing.
And is God's Love We Deliver still active? I remember them.
Yes, they are. And I know they do incredible work delivering food to people. And cool. people that can't get out of their home.
And not to stay on sort of a sad topic, but it is rather appropriate, you being a cabaret person, and I would bet dollars to donuts that at one point she stopped into the cast party. Mary Clear Heron.
Oh, man.
Any
what
thoughts?
A tragedy. I loved her voice. And yes, she did come to cast party. I think last time she was there, she came in with Michael Feinstein, who's a regular. And she didn't sing but that time. But we just, you know, she was so wonderful and so witty and dry and smart. And I just loved her voice. She reminded me of Doris Day.
Hmm.
That perfect, sunny voice. I just think she was a real treasure. And what a loss.
And okay, now we'll be playing some Mary Clear Heron later in the show. So I did want to
bring
that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we already played a song of hers, actually. Yeah, in that last set, we played "Love Is Just Around the Corner," which was
perfect.
Really nice to hear. But let's talk about someone who, amazingly enough, and thank God, is still with us, Tony Bennett. Now, as you said, Tony Bennett has stopped in at least once to the cast party.
Yeah. Yeah,
what is it?
He has. I know Tony kind of. I know Tony. We're hardly pals, but
okay.
I know him through Liza, because obviously they're old friends. And he came to cast party one night, and he did not sing, but he sat there for 2.5 hours watching everybody. And I took the mic over to him in the house, and he got up and said, "You guys, what's keeping the American Songbook alive?" I mean, he was just fantastic. And
that's a good impression.
People were so thrilled to be able to sing for him and to entertain him for a change after he's entertained us for, you know, a bajillion years. So, yeah, that was a good night, good night.
But actually, the question that I wanted to ask is, what is it about, be it a cheater or Liza Minnelli or a Tony Bennett or someone like that, who, what do they have that separates them from a normal, very good singer, cabaret performer? What is it that they just, you know, from the second they're on stage? Can you put your finger on that?
I don't know. I think each one is different, but there's just a thing that there's a reason they're famous. And I don't know if it's always the same thing. I mean, sometimes it's beauty, sometimes it's a vocal thing, sometimes it's a personality trait. I mean, Liza, to me, Liza's the reason Liza's Liza is because she gives 1,000,000,000% on stage. Barbara isn't that way. Barbara doesn't give. Barbara just has that incredible vocal prowess and a cool exterior. And, you know, she's not going to stand up there and sweat like Liza does.
Wait, are you talking about Barbara Streisand or Barbara Cook?
No, Barbara Streisand.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm just talking about those
sure.
iconic kind of
people.
that you're talking about. Barbara's the thoroughbred and Liza's the workhorse. You know, she'll get out there and take off her shoes and her eyelashes and sweat and, you know.
Right.
And I think each one of these kinds of iconic stars are completely different, and they're special for different reasons. But whatever it is, they are unmistakably unique, and we can't stop watching them.
We have two more.
I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's always a different thing.
We're talking.
It always comes down to talent, certainly.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and that brings me to one of the two last questions that I have. For Jim Caruso, the first one is, well, okay, if someone's listening, I mean, this is a college radio station, so if there's a person listening who is starting out, because we have a very pretty well-known and respected performing arts school and music school here, so if someone's starting out to be a performer, actor, singer, any advice, any thoughts on what they need to do?
Oh, man, I'm so not the one to ask, and I don't know if anybody can tell anybody what to do, but I mean, what I always did was never say no. If somebody asks you to do a club act, do a club act. If somebody asks you to be in Medea, do it. Just keep saying yes, and be brave and do it all, at some point it'll become clear as to where your talents should lead you, perhaps. I mean, it never really has for me. Which is why I'm still trying to do everything at age 1,000. You know, still singing in clubs, making records, hosting things, doing PR, producing, presenting, singing and dancing with Liza Minnelli. I mean, who knew? Who would have thought that I would be doing that?
Did you ever, Jim, did you ever have a day job?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, I thought
dear Lord, yes.
Oh, God, what was it?
Well, I mean, they were pretty drab. I was a singing and tap dancing telegram courier.
Okay.
And believe me, that is not show business. I worked in television. I was a television producer.
Oh.
And that's not show business either, even though I thought it was. That's just work. I was a producer on a TV show called Jim Jay and Tammy Faye.
Oh, no, wait, no, not, wait. Jim J. Bullock,
yeah, Jim J. Bullock and Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh, gee. So this was when she already split from her husband and went into the whole
other... This is after Jim Baker went to jail and all of that. This was Jim J. Bullock, the out gay comic, and Tammy Faye, a daily talk show that was kind of like Regis and Kathy Lee on heroin. But I moved to L.A. and worked on that for a year, and it was actually a fantastic experience.
What was that like?
It was crazy. I moved to L.A. to do this.
Well,
a friend of mine was the executive producer and knew I wanted to get involved in TV, and he said, "Well, come out. I don't know really what I have for you, but come out." So I moved out there with no title, no concept of what I was supposed to do. They ended up calling me the talent liaison,
which meant
keep Tammy out of meetings. Essentially, and then I was kind of upgraded to associate producer, and had an absolute blast.
Well, I mean, what did you physically, aside from, I guess, diverting Tammy Faye Baker with pastries or something when meetings were going? What did you do?
Well, I ended up producing segments.
How do you produce a segment in TV? I would love to know this.
Well,
what does that mean?
You pitch your idea in a pitch meeting. Like, actually, one of mine was Tammy told me once that she would have given anything to have been a cabaret singer.
Oh.
Well, that's all I needed to know. So I pitched this idea that we would make Tammy Faye a diva for the day. So it worked. We did it. We set up a nightclub on the set. I had Julie Wilson, the legendary cabaret singer, chanteuse, come out and teach Tammy how to do it. They were in street clothes at this point. Then I called my friend Bob Mackey to dress Tammy in a long beaded gown with a big boa. Yeah. Julie came out in her beaded gown and boa, and they both sang A Good Man Is Hard to Find.
Hmm. Actually, that sounds pretty cool.
Is that television history or what?
I hope there's extant footage of this. So,
I have some.
I would hope you've got to YouTube it. There's some cast party stuff on YouTube. I wish there were more.
Right.
But
absolutely.
If you have the rights and the footage to this Jim J. Bullock and Tammy, oh, my God.
I know. It was great. So that's what a segment producer does. You come up with an idea, and you put it together, and you make it be on TV.
It does sound like a good job, actually.
But then it was a blast.
But when you were done, you were done with
singing. You know, it ended up that I just really missed singing, and that was where my heart was, and entertaining. And as fun as all that was, I really, I felt like I needed to get back into the world of show business. So I did.
Now, speaking of show business, we have one last question for Jim Caruso, who is the host of Jim Caruso's... rented lips. Jim Caruso's Cast Party, Monday nights at Birdland. And, you know, if you come, you sing, you pay for your drinks, but you're getting free. Yay, that's all right. If you don't sing, you know, just come and see the wonderful people that he's got singing and performing on Jim Caruso's Cast Party every Monday night at Birdland in Manhattan. And then specifically this Thursday night at Town Hall, for the very special Best of Jim Caruso Cast Party. Lots and lots of major, major celebrities and singers in this benefit for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. And, of course, also do pick up a copy Jim Caruso, the swing set, the CD, from which we will play another song once we're finished with the interview. But I do have one more question for Jim Caruso. Please share with us, and I got this from the website, the dancing tampon story.
Oh, no. talk about show business.
Yeah.
This was show business at any cost. I was living in Dallas, and at that point in time, a great way to make a living was to perform in industrial shows. You know, shows for the companies would hire you to sing and dance about their product. So a lot of us down there did it quite often for Mary Kay Cosmetics and insurance industrials and Zales Jewelry, singing and dancing about diamonds.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the Kimberly-Clark convention came through with a show. And I had to basically dress as a tampon.
Oh! With a string.
Which was a very long, white, tubular outfit with my legs coming out in white tights, which is never attractive, and tap shoes, which is not a look I advise for any man, with a piece of yarn coming out of my head.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you do I've Got the World on a String? Or what?
Exactly. Exactly. Oy.
No, really, what did you have to say?
Add jokes in there that we could just email them to us, folks.
Well, but you know what? That's so campy. It must have been wonderful. Well, maybe not for you doing it, but people must have gotten
it. It would have been hard to tell me at the time that it was a good thing, but now at this point, now I can talk about it on talk shows.
Let's see.
Thank you. Good night.
No, wait. I want to find a song on your new CD that corresponds, I can imagine, you as a tampon singing. There's...
Oh, thank you so much. What would that be?
Let's say maybe Pick Yourself Up. Flexible.
Yeah, I've got my fingers crossed.
I'm Shooting High. Ew.
Yes, ew. And Just Squeeze Me. No.
Well, we already did Just Squeeze Me. That would have been good, actually. Oh, boy.
It's a doodling song. If your fans are theater, or your listeners are theater lovers, the doodling song is one of my favorites. I sing it with the extraordinary Stephanie J. Block, who you might know from, she created the role of Elphaba in Wicked long before Idina Menzel sang it. She was the pirate queen on Broadway. She played Liza in Boy from Oz opposite Hugh Jackman.
Oh.
She's a brilliant singer. Or you could play the Michael Feinstein duet.
Well, the Doodlin' song sounds kind of cool because I remember that song of all things. Is that from a show?
I don't think it is from a show. I mean, it's just I know Blossom Dearie recorded it and had a great hit with it. Cy Coleman.
Yeah. No, I remember, believe it or not, I remember that from being like a kid watching the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Absolutely.
Mary
Tyler Moore. That's how I know it.
Yeah, and that was the first time it was pre-puberty, but I was starting to realize that I like girls because I like Mary Tyler Moore in that song.
Oh, God, who didn't like Mary Tyler Moore?
Yeah. So
Laura Petrie.
Indeed. Well, we don't have Laura Petrie. We've got Jim Caruso out of his tampon at the moment.
Happily.
On CD, which is available at jim-caruso.com. Jim, I want to thank you so much. I want to wish you many, many more years of your cast party. Much success with the party on Monday night, plus at Town Hall, and with all the great stuff that you are doing. Thank you for being in the neighborhood.
Thank you so much for talking to me.